cheesy cafe window is ready for the show. 100 different stories drifting by. Keep your eyes on the shadows lurking on the pavement. Cause no one has any faith in the sky. They're all actors on a stage, and nothing is as it would seem. I like my coffee black, no sugar. I like my coffee black, no cream. There's too much makeup on the waitress. So many places she'd rather be. She's a masterpiece of abject sorrow. Her demons will never set her free. She moves around the tables, taking orders. She moves around in a broken dream. I'll take my coffee black, no sugar. I'll take my coffee black, no cream. She won't listen to the wisdom of the youth. She really doesn't care what those boys think. There's a secret buried behind her eyes. Runs darker and deeper than her ink. Just more soul food for the demons of this underworld. Veiled behind a curtain of rising steam. She pours my coffee black, no sugar. She pours my coffee black, no cream. I like my coffee black, no sugar. I like my coffee black.
Bride by Carol Kelly, narrated by Samara Mears.
I failed to see the warning signs or listen to my friend's advice. Deliriously in love with you, my handsome, enigmatic older man, I was convinced that you were my perfect mate. From the moment we met at the office Christmas party, you pursued me in a whirlwind of expensive gifts and romantic dates. At the tender age of 18, my experience with men had been restricted to a high school boyfriend who had tried unsuccessfully to take my virginity in the back of his father's ute before publicly dumping me the next day. Devastated and embarrassed, I chose to avoid relationship entanglements and focus on obtaining good grades, which allowed me to quickly obtain my first job as a trainee medical receptionist. The evening of the Christmas party, I had apprehensively dressed in a borrowed red silk dress that clung to my curves and showed off my long, slender legs. My kind roommate, Sarah, had insisted that I wear it. helped me with my makeup and tamed my unruly blonde curls into a sophisticated updo. Feeling glamorous and unusually grown up, I walked confidently in my spindly heels into the fashionable restaurant where the party was being held. The doctors at the practice were mainly middle-aged men who always treated me with an avuncular indulgence. Tonight, they flirted gently with me and made sure my glass was always full. I even flirted back. But not being much of a drinker, by the time dinner was announced, I was already a bit giddy. I excused myself to find the powder room and to splash some cold water on my rosy cheeks. Afterwards, I gazed at my unfamiliar reflection in the mirror, my smudged eye makeup and slightly tousled hair that was already escaping from the updo gave me an unusually wanton appearance that I rather liked. Blowing a kiss at my dishevelled reflection, I tugged the top of my red dress down to show off a bit more cleavage, then stumbled out of the powder room and straight into your arms. I had already noticed you earlier that evening and had asked for your name. Classically tall, dark and handsome, you were attracting hopeful glances from many of the other women. The senior partner advised me you were a consultant who frequently worked with their practice, then teased me about my penchant for older men. Safely caught in your strong arms, I looked up in embarrassment to see you smiling down at me. Your white teeth flashed in amusement and laughter danced in your sultry dark eyes. My hesitant apologies were waved away, and before I had time to reconsider, I was escorted back on your arm to your table, where attentive waiters hastened to rearrange seating to allow me to sit next to you. The rest of the evening passed in a blur. You encouraged me to try the unfamiliar dishes placed in front of me and kept my wine glass full while toying with a glass of your own. By the time dinner and speeches were over, I was totally infatuated with you and ignored the tactful suggestions by work colleagues to allow them to place me in a taxi to return home. You draped my faux fur coat gracefully around my shoulders, then ushered me out to your waiting car. Black and sleek, it suited your mysterious personality, and you drove it like an extension of yourself around the city streets for hours in total silence while I snuggled unquestioningly into the leather seats. Dawn was almost breaking as we arrived back in front of my modest apartment, and I asked you in with trembling anticipation. You gently refused, but asked to pick me up tomorrow night. Of course I agreed, and when you leant in to kiss me, I melted into a puddle of desire. Your red lips devoured me. Then after nipping me gently on my neck, you let me go and watched as I staggered into my apartment, where I fell heavily onto my bed and passed out. The next evening, I was ready and waiting for you hours before our date. Sarah tried to question me about you and suggested that you were too old for someone of my limited experience, but my infatuation overrode any doubts. Your old-fashioned courtesy as you opened the car door for me and tucked in my long gauzy skirt thrilled me, and once again my time with you passed quickly. Delivering me back home as the first streaks of colour painted the sky, you kissed me goodnight with barely controlled passion, but refused my invitation to come in. I was left frustrated, but also respectful of your self-control. Over the next few weeks, the pattern of our relationship remained the same. You would pick me up at dusk and introduce me to all of the city's secrets, open to someone only with your wealth and taste. Tiny bijou restaurants that offered exotic foods and rare wines for my delectation, where you rarely ate but sipped slowly on a glass or two of rich red wine. Sultry nightclubs allowed me to dance with you in liquid desire, where I held my eager body close to yours and allowed myself to become lost in your insistent caresses. The evening always concluded with hungry kisses in your car, before I returned to my apartment alone, save for the disapproving hump of Sarah's back. Work became impossible to continue along with my new nocturnal activities, and I gladly gave up my budding career without a second thought. You insisted on subsidising my rent and gave me generous gifts of designer clothes and jewellery that I accepted in a daze of unrequited yearning. Occasionally, I wondered why you never took me to your secluded mountains home that you had casually mentioned on our first date, but you seemed to prefer to conduct our love affair in the public domain. I became more assertive in our late-night lovemaking, straddling your muscular thighs with my skirts rucked up around my waist as our frantic kisses filled me with lust. But no matter how much I begged, you never allowed the situation to develop further and would send me alone to my virgin bed with swollen lips and a neck covered in love bites. One night, as we settled into our favourite restaurant, I sensed an air of anticipation in the room. Although always attentive to our needs, tonight our waiter was bordering on obsequiousness as he hovered around the table. You impatiently waved away the menu, telling him to bring me my favourite meal and a bottle of champagne. Once the delicate entree of buttered scallops was placed in front of me and the champagne uncorked and poured into crystal glasses, you took my hand and asked me if I knew what special date it was today. I had lost track of the days and months we'd been together and shook my head in contrition. You frowned at me momentarily, then with one of your dazzling smiles reminded me that it was our 3-month anniversary since the night we met. Then, with a flourish, produced a green velvet case and opened it to show me the most beautiful ring I had ever seen. Platinum, with old-style cushion diamonds surrounding an enormous emerald that exactly matched my eyes. As you placed it on my trembling finger and asked the question I had been dreaming about, there was no hesitation in my voice as I gave you an ecstatic yes. There seemed no point in delaying the wedding, as my fiancé had no family in this country and I had been an orphan since early childhood. The grumpy aunt who had reluctantly cared for me had also died some years ago, and I had no other relatives. Many of my friends had become estranged during my obsessive relationship with you, so only faithful Sarah was available to be my bridesmaid. I ignored her well-intentioned warning that I was rushing into marriage with someone I barely knew. To my mind, I knew everything that was necessary, and common sense had long since been dispatched by unrequited desire. The bridal gown arrived at my apartment a week before the wedding. It was a treasured vintage gown from your family that had been refitted for me, and I stroked the delicate lace with delicious anticipation. There was also a diamond tiara to hold back the matching veil, which fell bewitchingly over my bedazzled eyes. Blinded by love, I raised no objection to any of your proposed wedding plans. A friend offered their rose garden for our unconventional nocturnal wedding, and the fairy lights threaded through the trees and arches lit up the magical grove-like setting. But I only had eyes for you. Dressed in an exquisitely cut black suit that fitted like a glove, it made a magnificent contrast to my trailing ivory lace gown and cascading blonde curls. I had no one to give me away, and you refused any attendance, so only a subdued Sarah in pink silk and a strange man who appeared to be a neighbour shared our vows. Once it was over, you clasped my hand firmly in yours and refused to let go as we shared champagne and canapés before whisking me into your car for the short trip to your home. Still dressed only in my bridal gown, I shivered in the cool mountain air as we stepped out of the car. A long winding drive through overgrown trees had brought us to this dilapidated house, nestled sullenly against a mountain slope. I turned to you in disappointment, but with elation you swept me up into your arms and carried me laughing through the door. My feet barely touched the ground before your mouth found mine and claimed it possessively. Then, taking my hand, you led me up the dusty stairs and into a huge bedroom dominated by a king-sized bed covered in faded red satin. I turned to you, strangely shy but excited, And you lost no time in tumbling me onto the bed and covering my face with passionate kisses. Lost again in transports of lust, I drew you closer and willingly spread my legs to allow you better access to my aching void. Carefully, you unbuttoned my high-necked gown and nuzzled my lace-clad breasts before turning your attention to my neck with a stinging string of love bites which filled me with breathless desire. I reached out to begin removing your tie when a sharp pain took my breath away and I felt your teeth enter my pale neck. Crying out in pain, I was quickly overcome with lethargy and watched in detachment as crimson blood gushed down my ivory gown. I was aware of you ripping away my silk underwear and roughly entering me as you continued to suck at my neck. Too weak to fight back, I lay passively in the scarlet sheets as you climaxed with a triumphant roar and collapsed on top of me. Eventually, I managed to crawl out from under your sleeping body and sit up. Dizzy from loss of blood, I regarded the ruins of my bridal gown along with the ruins of my marriage. Vaguely, I wondered if you were really a vampire or just a man with a secret perversion who had played me like a fool. I considered trying to leave, but already the black spots before my eyes told me that I'd never reach the stairs, never mind the car. Then, as I began to sink into final darkness, I heard the front door flung open and a familiar voice frantically shouting my name. In my last conscious breath, I called out to her and even managed a weak smile as faithful Sarah rushed through the bedroom door, still wearing her pink silk dress, with a silver cross in one hand and a wooden stake held up confidently in her other.
Thank you for listening to Bride, Carol Kelly's sixth story in the Black No Sugar series. It was narrated by Samara Mears. Technical production by Tim Roebuck and John Tompkins. Directed by Brian Cutts. Series title song Black No Sugar. Lyrics, vocals and guitar by Bruce Inwood. Electric guitar by Tim Roebuck and produced by Tim Roebuck. Series produced by Brian Cutts. Visit the series website blacknosugar.au and subscribe.